Now, municipalities across Wisconsin continue to grapple with budget challenges as local revenues fall short of rising operating costs. Last year, the state legislature passed a law that overhauled Wisconsin's shared revenue system, providing an increase in funding for local governments.
But that increase may not be enough for communities to balance their budgets. Some are turning to referendums to raise local tax levies and keep services fully funded. We're checking in now on those referendum efforts and the financial dilemmas on the horizon.
Martin Shanks is the village administrator in Oregon, south of Madison. His village board recently voted to move forward with plans for a referendum next spring. Martin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Could you walk us through what kind of budget shortfall you're projecting in Oregon over the next few years?
Yeah, so we've been doing some long-range financial analysis over the next 10 years, and we've really looked at 2026, 2027 as about a little over half a million to a million, depending on any number of factors, that our expenses will be outrunning our revenues at that point. And so we're hoping that right now we're evaluating the possibility of a referendum in April 2025. We're going through that process right now, and we'll see where that takes us.
It seems like 2026, 2027 is far off, but in the budget world and in your planning processes, that isn't actually that far away.
No, and for our, the property tax being our main source of revenue, we can only go to that well once a year, obviously. So once we set it for, at the end of the year, we get it, and that's what we get for the year. So we're really only, two cycles away from where we think we're going to be in that shortfall.
What are the primary forces here? What is driving up costs for the village?
Over the last 5-6 years, since the pandemic and then the inflation, that really kind of broke our back, and I think broke the backs of a lot of communities throughout the state, where our main source of revenue here, the property tax, is limited to new construction. We can only raise it based on new construction value created in our communities. And as Oregon, we do all right. We're a suburb of Madison, but most of our growth is residential, and of course, residents create more services, more demand on public services, police calls, fire calls, EMS calls, more streets to fix, more parks, that sort of thing. And when you're only able to get maybe 1-3% increase on your property tax levy, and you're doing that in the face of, 5-8%, 10% inflation, plus your community is growing on top of that, pretty much everything we're doing is outrunning our source of revenue.
Enter the state legislature, which updated the shared revenue system last year, which sends more of that state funding to smaller communities like yours. How much a difference will that make?
So we got close to $300,000 out of that law, which is great. It's nice and appreciated. But really, when you look back, going back 20 years, if you look at our state shared revenues that we received in 2003, they were at just over $400,000. And we really lost almost $200,000 of that over those 20 years. And so this $300,000 that we got is a nice backfill for the stuff that we lost over these 20 years, and a little bit on top of that. But really, it's just getting us back to where we were 20 years ago, plus a little bit better.
We're talking with Martin Shanks, administrator for the Village of Oregon, as we look at state shared revenue and ongoing municipal budget challenges. Martin, what kind of options do you have on the table for trying to reduce costs or to increase revenues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've looked at that over the last couple of years in detail here, and we've, in terms of the revenue side, we've pretty much pulled on all of the lower hanging fruit that are available to local governments. We use the wheel tax We did some fees and some other things that we put into place. So really the only things that are left on the revenue side are things that, if we do it, we will have to make an adjustment on our property tax levy anyways. So, we're not really getting any farther ahead there. Or there are things that are going to create a bunch of administrative overhead and costs that we would have to accommodate as well. So we're sort of out of revenue options that are going to make a significant difference. On the expenditure side, our community doesn't really have a whole lot of bells and whistles. I mean, we do police, fire, EMS, public works, a little bit of parks. We don't have a recreation department that's handled by our school district. We have a senior center and a library, and that's really all we do. I mean, those are some pretty basic services. And so there's not a lot. We can't cut, we can't reduce enough without really having an impact on the current services that are provided.
You are still in the process as a community of deciding, for a referendum and in that planning process. But do you have a broader message you're hoping to send to the community in a potential lead up to the vote?
I think the challenges for going through this process are helping people understand why, this is taking place. I think school districts have sort of been in this cycle for a little while, but this is relatively new for a lot of local governments. And it's hard to capture sort of the history of how we got here and how sort of some of the different elements of this play out. And then why it's needed, because otherwise the things that you enjoy, the services that you enjoy, the high quality of life that we certainly have in our community and in Dane County and throughout the state, may not, we have to have a serious conversation about what's realistic and what's not if we're not going to have these referendums.
I mean, it begs the question, how do you fund local governments in more sustainable, long-term ways? What does a sustainable future look like in terms of budget?
I think of the way that the law is currently written, I don't think that that's a tenable future for any local government in terms of actual sustainability. I think, again, I think you can look at the school districts as a model for where local governments are headed. You're going to have to keep going back to referendum periodically in order to continue to support your existing services or to try to, if you want to do something new or even add something, you're almost certainly going to have to do that.
Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Martin Shanks is administrator for the Village of Oregon in Dane County. He was with us to discuss the budgetary challenges facing his municipality and potential plans for a referendum next year. Other communities have already gone to referendum to increase their tax levy. But what happens when local voters say no? In northern Wisconsin, leaders in Forest County are working through those next steps after voters rejected their referendum. Ron Skjelrud is chair of the Forest County Board of Supervisors. Ron, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you for having me on your program this day.
How does Forest County find itself in its current budget situation? What does it look like?
Our current budget situation is going to be tenuous at best moving forward. In 2020, this year, 2024, we had gone through the process of a referendum. So we were asking for a referendum of a levy increase up to $2 million moving forward so that we could meet future budget goals for the services that a county has to provide. We're a rural county located in northern Wisconsin, full-time residents of about a little over 9,000. We're also in a unique situation in which only 17% of our county is taxable. We have a lot of national forest land, but yet we have to provide services to that land as well. We also have two tribal nations within our community, which are excellent partners with us and have been also contributing for services above and beyond the compact requirements. So They've been great partners, but once again, that's untaxable lands. Where counties get its money through its main source of revenue is obviously the property taxation. And then if you include managed forest land and agricultural land, which reduces the burden on taxes for property taxes for the individuals, if you really calculated that out, about only 10% of our county is fully taxable.
I want to pause right there because Forest County, as you said, home to almost 350,000 acres of national forest land as part of the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. And does the county get any alternative funding from the government for those acres in lieu of property taxes?
So there is some funding in lieu of property taxes, nowhere near to the amount that we would receive in standard property levy. So, and the townships actually get a little bit more of a portion of that than the county itself. So it's really insubstantial for a trade-off, which is hence why our county, I believe, has felt the impact at the county level sooner than any other county has with the tax levy freeze limits and so forth. So we went to referendum, and at our April election is when we went on to posing that question to our tax base, our citizens, and it failed about 70% to 30%. So it did not pass. So that means this upcoming year, we are going to have to really start looking at what services are we going to be cutting back? How are we going to manage things? Trying to avoid things like layoffs, trying to offer as many of the services that a county is mandated to offer, but counties also offer services that are not mandated through legislation. So we're hoping to find a way as we're continuing our budget process right now to have the least impact on services available and trying not to have to eliminate departments that are non-mandatory departments.
Looking at Forest County here with Board Chair Ron Skalrud as we talk about what happens after a tax levy referendum fails. Ron, how does the state shared revenue formula play into this for Forest County? What have you found?
So, what we found is this year we were able to offset our tax levy increase by about $249,000. That goes to public safety, but then counties are able to redistribute the savings across other departments and so forth. So that's what we are doing right now with that. We're optimistic to see what happens with the new shared revenue as opposed to past legislation. This has a built-in potential to continue to increase each year. 2025 is the first year we're going to see how that works with the actual implementation of the state.
Ron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ron Skalrud is the chair of the Forest County Board of Supervisors, and he joined us to share how his board is preparing for looming budget shortfalls after a referendum to increase the tax levy failed earlier this year. We also heard from the Village of Oregon Administrator Martin Shanks about how his community south of Madison is planning for a referendum to cover rising operating costs.
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, catch up with a traveling Shakespeare company performing in Wisconsin parks where sounds of nature and city life are just part of the deal.
We all, the actors on stage and the people in the audience, have to acknowledge that we're in this environment where anything can happen.
It's the Starling Shakespeare Company up next here on WPR News.